Killian! Here is Sub-Zero! Now, Plane Zero!
Plane Zero! Plane Zero! Plane Zero! Plane Zero! Hold up! Hold up! Hold up! Hello! And welcome to another exciting episode of Plane Zero, the podcast dedicated to finding out if the movies of the past hold up in the present so that you can watch them in the future. This is episode 460. Blaze it plus 40.
Nice.
Yeah. My name is Travis.
James.
And my name is Nick, and I like basketball, and I'm swole.
Wow, that sounds just like you. Hey, Nick, are you a sexual deviant?
No, I'm not a sexual deviant. I just crush a lot.
What? I don't like that at all. Get out of here.
Go to planezero.com where you can find links to all the social media. And by all, I mean just, you know, the Twitter and Instagram. No, technically the Instagram is me, Plain Travis. But the Twitter, the Facebooks, you can find the links
Twitch.
There. Twitch. Yeah, it's always streaming.
Blue Sky.
I mean, those are just me.
Is that still around?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I had to cut a lot. I had to trim the fat on a lot of these things.
The main ones I look at are like I still look at Threads.
I think mainly with me it's just Instagram now, and then like I'll look at Twitter every once in a while.
And I look at Twitter when I want to get angry because I just look because it feels like all I ever see now are people upset.
Well, at first it's funny because I used to just want to see the people that I'm following. And then everyone just thinks they're a joke writer, and it's like, and they're not, clearly. So now I like to look at recommended because it actually shows me just lots of wrestling, lots of X-Men 97 stuff. So I'm like, all right. But I also sparingly do it because then you do see people just upset. I like how you slapped the ass of your mouse pad. That's a giant ass.
This was a Nick present. Mm-hmm. I do it to see if people are paying attention.
Slap the boot cheeks.
Slap the boot cheeks.
There you go.
So, yeah, you like Twitter.
Yeah, buy yourself a Plane Zero shirt.
Go to planezero.com, yes, where you can also hit the store tab, buy stuff. If there's an episode you feel like you missed that maybe isn't on the iTunes because it only goes back 100 episodes, everything's on the website.
You missed the episode where I got drunk, but the audio's not that good for Old Man Logan.
That one's fine. It's the Aaron one that's really – there's an Aaron one that's bad, which was the first time we did It's a Wonderful Life I mean, the audio, there was always issues for like up until COVID, which made me get this soundboard, which is so much clearer than the other one. Cause the other one was just a sound rack and
it was a nice rack.
Yeah. It had a microphone out, but it was also needed a USB adapter and all of that caused like that weird bumblebee sound. This is all, no one cares. This is bullshit.
That. I don't
care. It just sounds better now.
Yeah, it does.
But it's still listenable.
More better.
The older ones are still listenable, except for one where it just recorded all wonky. I picked this week's movie.
And what's it called?
It's the movie called Stand By Me, which is based off of The Body by Stephen King. Is that from Half Past Midnight?
No.
It's
a short story because it was Richard Bachman. Was that what his name
was? No, I think this one was still.
No?
Let me double check.
I swear that it was, and oddly enough, like I loved this movie when I was younger, but I read a lot of Stephen King. I never read this one that it was based
on.
It was from a
collection of stories. I know that.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Body.
I can't remember, though.
Different Seasons. There we go.
Yeah, I never read this one for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was in a book called Different Seasons was where it was published.
Well, it's weird. I loved watching any Stephen King movie that I had read the book on.
It's the same book that the Shawshank Redemption short story was also in. Mm. It doesn't say It's so weird because it says three of the main stories were all,
you know,
adapted.
Any movie that I saw of Stephen King before the book, I never went to read the book afterwards. I think that's weird because I did read a lot of Stephen King.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Rita Hayworth in The Shawshank. Oh, Apt Pupils, the other one. And then The Body. And then another book, which wasn't.
Magneto and Charles Xavier, wasn't it?
Not Charles Xavier.
Who was the kid in that?
Why can't I think of his name? No. Now I have to look that up. No, it's... Oh, why can't I... Was it Brad Renfro? I think it was Brad
Renfro. That's not a person.
It was Brad Renfro.
I don't know who that is. That's not a guy. Is he a thick daddy?
No. But Joshua Jackson was also in that movie.
Oh, nice. You know what? This SNL thing with Beavis and Butthead, though? Man, I hate Beavis and Butthead kind of humor.
No.
Oh.
It's amazing.
Oh, my.
No, because, look, I know you see the picture, and you're probably going to think, oh, my God, it's just going to be them actually imitating, like, and doing Beavis and Butthead impressions, like, as adults. No.
All right. Okay.
No.
I'm gonna go ahead and look into it then.
Yeah, no, it's worth watching. You know, that's my recommendation. Watch the Beavis and Butthead clip from last week's SNL with Ryan Gosling, the Goose. But yeah, it's Stand By Me. It's the story of four friends who basically decide they're gonna go and see this dead body, in which one of them heard his older brother talking about. And so it's like kind of a coming of age story.
What was
about
first,
them.
This or Boys in the Hood?
Oh, this for sure.
You want to see a dead body?
This is way before Boys in the Hood.
All right.
Probably not way before, probably only a couple years. But in my mind, because when you're a kid, it feels like there's ages that, like, years are like forever. But it's before, for sure. Yeah, but it's also just like a coming of age story. Like they're going out camping.
And oddly enough, Will Wheaton today does look like Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, a little bit.
Does he? No.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and so things happen along the way, and we'll discuss. But yeah, I mean as a kid, I never realized it because obviously I wasn't paying enough attention. But it's like I didn't realize that the whole beginning of the movie when he's just sitting in the car, because I would almost always kind of not pay attention until it got to the actual flashback portion. I didn't realize that the fate of River Phoenix's character is right there. That's what he's looking at, is the newspaper.
Oh yeah.
About the story about what happened to his friend is it Eddie Chambers or is it, I
can't remember now. Chris Chambers. It's Chris.
It's
Chambers.
Chris. Yeah. Yes.
I like that. This is kind of like the prototypical dad of Walk Hard of the Wrong Boy.
It kind of is, but he never actually says it. The only thing he does is he says, "Why can't you have friends like your brother did?"
Yeah, well, it's because he wants to go to Mars and he wants to free his people. It's Quado.
It's Quado.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a Quado.
Reactors. Everyone's got a Quado.
Everyone's got a Quado. Man, yeah, it's that actor. It's just, like, you could tell he hates his son. It's like, because no way, his other son was a.
Was awesome,
Cusack.
John Cusack, who was like a great football star and had a promising future. And for some reason, I always thought he got, like, he died in the war, but it was an accident. It was just a car accident.
Was a kickboxer, and he wanted
to Sport of the Future.
Yeah, Sport of the Future. Donald Dragon Wilson.
But yeah, that's the big thing is, you know, Richard Dreyfuss's character in the flashback is still dealing with the death of his son or with his brother. And like, you know, his parents don't approve of his friends, because two of them are considered like thieves and outcasts, because one is Chris Chambers, whose older brother is, who's like, you know, kind of in a gang at that point.
Well, and that's the thing, like Will Wheaton is technically the outcast of that group because he's the academic one. Well,
Vern's kind of an idiot, but he's a good guy, but he's just a regular kid.
What I hated was, that. When I was little, I looked like Vern. I was a chubby kid with a flat top, and someone at the zoo asked if I was the kid from Stand By Me. Luckily, today I do still look like Jerry O'Connell body-wise.
I know. It worked out perfectly.
It worked out perfectly, so I'm glad that happened. But, yeah, that was...
Just like Richard Dreyfuss and Will Wheaton.
I was so annoyed whenever people would be like, "You look like the guy's name." And I would... And I know it. It would grind my gears. And
the kid who asked you at the zoo...
Was he serious?
No, it was a mom.
Oh, the mom. Were they serious, though? Did they legit think, like, it wasn't like them being jerked? No, well, if it's a mom.
As they walked by, they just said, that looks like the boy from Stand By Me. And they just kept walking. And then my mom laughed. And I'm like, well, yeah, there you go.
No, okay. They just said looks. It wasn't like, hey, do you think that is him?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
That would have been better.
I don't know. It just described me for like, because then my mom likes to bring it up every once in a while. Remember, shut up. Just leave me the fuck alone.
Quit just grinding like, my gears, mom.
Yeah, it just and in elementary school.
Then you yell at her like Biff does at his grandma.
Yes, exactly.
I told you, grandma.
Yeah, like a screen door on a battleship. Yeah. This movie has... every movie has a lot of actors, but this movie has a lot of
people who went on to become more known actors.
I mean, the four horsemen of this movie. I mean, you have Will Wheaton, who was in Star Trek for a season.
Shut up, Wesley.
And then you got Michael Jackson impersonator Corey Feldman, and then you got the Joker's brother, River, and then you got. Star of Piranha 1 and the Munsters reunion.
Hollywood treasure, Jerry O'Connell. Treasure. So, as he always says. You
know, so maybe this didn't produce a lot of stars, but
I would consider Jerry O'Connell a star-ish. People know who he is. He's a well-known enough name. He's a talk show host. As well now.
Win, lose, or draw, or Pictionary?
Currently. Like, he was, I mean, the show finally got canceled. The talk on NBC was, but he's like, he does actual, like, talk show stuff.
Wait, the talk got canceled or Pictionary got canceled?
The talk.
Oh, okay.
Rebecca
Romaine Stamos, Mystique, she was a guest on that show. And it's funny because Jerry O'Connell is very, like comforting to the guests. It's very odd. Like, oh, it's okay. That was a tough one. Yeah, and that next time. Very, very odd. Very odd way to play it, but as Jerry O'Connell. He was also Herman Munster for some reason. I don't know.
He was also a slider. Not like the little snacks you
His
eat.
Greatest, like, I know what? Fuck My Secret Project. Identity or any of that shit. Sliders was one of the greatest shows ever.
And then it wasn't.
But there was a strong time. You know what? Get Jerry O'Connell's brother, who was in, what was that?
Sliders.
No, he was in Sliders, and that ruined it. But what was that?
Well, when he was first on it, it was fine because Jerry was still on it. Because Jerry was still in it when his brother first showed up.
The moment Jerry left was the moment.
That's when it really went weird. But his character was still there because it's like it was trapped in the body of someone else. It was weird.
I really loved it in the beginning.
It was a delightful show. The Professor, Rembrandt,
fucking Gimli.
And then the original girl left, and then Carrie Wuer was there from Remote Control.
And she was like half beast or something. I don't know what's happening.
Was she?
Yeah, I don't know. She had something about her that made her like powerful or something.
Roger Daltrey.
Weird. I know. I don't even want to talk about that.
But that show was still good at that point. That's the craziest thing.
So okay. So I guess we got Jerry O'Connell. Well, River Phoenix could have possibly did other things.
Everyone. He's kind of like the '80s James Dean because he died before his prime.
But he's in porn. James Dean.
No, he made sausages.
Nice.
He goes by Jimmy.
I mean, Jimmy Dean sausages aren't that great. I mean, Farmer John. It's definitely, if I'm going to buy a pork product.
I trust a farmer more than I trust a Jimmy.
Exactly. Never trust a Jimmy or a Dean. River Phoenix, drugs are bad, people. So use them responsibly.
The Viper Room, man.
That Viper. Don't go in the Viper Room, man. It's a snake pit. Yep. So, yeah, so you got those four. But then you also have Kiefer Sutherland. You got the aforementioned John Cusack.
Who's like really more of a cameo than anything else, but it's not even that much of a cameo because he wasn't John Cusack
yet.
And
as a young kid watching this movie, I don't know why I got so excited to see him in it because I'm like, oh my god, because he was
Better,
like,
Off Dead.
He wasn't like featured in this movie, but like just to see him because when I was young, I loved those John Cusack type movies. So,
hey hoops.
To see him, I was just like, oh my god! And then later on, realizing like one of them is Chain or Dave from Summer School.
Yeah,
like it's
you one got of them's Casey Samisco.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, from 3 o'clock High.
Yes.
You know what? We're fucking doing that one.
I haven't seen that. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
I watched that movie a million times and I loved every second of it. And then The Charlie Day Ice Cube one kind of felt like that.
I mean, it really was 3 o'clock high.
Karen always says that was a decent movie.
It has funny moments.
Very funny.
It's not great, but it does have when he does the talent show with his daughters. Amazing.
When you're in a hotel by yourself in some other state, you watch some things.
Like, I saw that with our friend Abe in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Just the two of us, two dudes hanging out, watching Ice Cube and Charlie Day fight.
In a hotel once, I watched the Entourage movie twice in a row. Because I was
You were so sick.
I was so sick. I sat there, and it was on, and I just watched it, and then I fell asleep.
Sick with two C's.
And I woke up, and it was on again.
And you're like, all right.
And I'm like, I can't move. I'm like, but you know what?
Oh, yeah.
This is horrible.
But it's all right, because you love stuff like that, because you also liked the sports show. Ballers.
You have no idea. Holy moly. Holy yeah. moly, actually.
You like Holy Moly and WrestleMania. Those are Entourage.
Actually, the funny thing is my daughter now has a podcast. It's called I Know Right. And she...
They probably have more viewers or listeners than we do.
Most likely. So she... I don't know what happened, but...
I don't know if the mics are picking that up.
I think you got to go to the doctor. Because your tushy just exploded. That ain't good, man. You go see somebody about that. We're good. So they were talking about...
I did not think that was going to be loud or long.
So they were going over their top sports or whatever. They're discussing, and Layla's like, well, my dad doesn't watch sports, but I would say like my top sports are WWE and Holy Moly. And I'm like, yeah!
Those are your sports.
Those are my two top favorite sports. So there you go. But no, what were we saying? What happened? As you, the moment you take a bite of
God
a pop.
Damn it.
Of a
God ma- damn
is
it.
Is it a maple Pop-Tart or brown sugar?
It's the brown sugar maple.
That sounds
it's both.
Delicious. Man.
No, it's brown sugar cinnamon. Sorry.
Well, that's delicious sounding. I don't think I've ever had one. Or maybe I have.
It was pretty good asked me a question right when I put one in my mouth.
Maybe I just ate so many of them, just nothing mattered.
When I was younger, I kind of got tired of them, and I preferred the fruit-flavored ones more than that. Because I was like, there's not enough flavor, but now it's like, no.
I was always a big strawberry guy, but
they're great. Strawberry's good.
I can't eat them. They have to be warm and toasty.
Nope. Rhett and Leek told me room temperature's fine.
They're full of shit. I don't care. I don't care what they say.
The best temperature is room temp.
You know what? You can't trust that Link guy with anything.
But I can trust Rhett.
Okay.
And he's the one who said it.
That's also true. But still. No, man. You got to toast them up. Make them toasty.
Although I will say, now that we're talking about Rhett and Leek, when they did their favorite, both of them had their favorite foods, the cheap, fancy.
Yes.
I was very impressed by the foods that Link had picked. That they ended up doing, because I'm like, those are very adventurous foods.
Yeah, yeah, it's very odd. I feel like the show's probably made them.
Well, he's admitted to that. Yeah.
Stuff, so, except for tomatoes,
I don't blame.
Just no thanks to tomatoes.
I don't like tomatoes that much.
You're an idiot. Salt them up.
That's fine. Maybe throw some pepper on them.
Yeah.
But like, just like on a burger, I half the time I pull it off the burger, eat it plain so it doesn't ruin the burger.
Wow.
And then I just eat my burger so I can enjoy my burger without the tomato. Well,
goddamn, pal.
But I still eat the tomato.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like it. I don't want it to ruin my sandwich, so I eat it first.
Get her done. Because you said tomato. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's an all-star cast.
Stand by me.
People want
a bunch of people.
People want to find a dead body. It's funny because like
Kiefer was only 17 also when he filmed this.
Was he?
And he seems like Kiefer Sutherland always seems like an adult.
I love it because it's the 1950s and like they want to show the bad guys are the bad guys by like hitting mailboxes and just.
No, I mean he's also a scary man because he pulls a knife on a kid.
Yeah, also the knife. Yeah, yeah.
But he steals his brother's hat. And he doesn't, and it was intentionally, like even Rob Reiner had given him notes saying don't put the hat on, because he did a one take where he takes it and puts it on himself. He's like, when you take the hat, just take it and give it to Eyeball, because the whole point is that you're not taking the hat because you want it for yourself. You're just that much of a jerk that you take it.
That's good. I like that.
And they even confirmed later, like both the actors have confirmed that. He never gets the hat back because he just threw it away. He just throws it away afterwards because he doesn't care. He doesn't.
Yeah.
It's like that just makes him so mean.
It is. And the guy's mean. You could see how he's mean to his friends and how like they're always afraid of him because you know why?
He's the alpha male because his name's Ace. Ace Merrill.
He's a vampire.
That's also true.
Goddamn vampire. You didn't even let people eat Chinese food. It's horrible.
Michael.
Yeah, it's horrible. But I feel this like there's a lot of strong character development with touches like that, but throughout where you can see those people, and then you could see like the same thing with Corey Feldman's character, where it's like you could tell he's emotionally scarred because of his dad.
If I'm ruining the trip. I forgot that he actually, I remember him crying, but I forgot that he actually is feels he feels bad, like he's ruining the trip because he got sad from that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, it, for him, this is like, him hanging out with his friends is everything. It's like, it's great escape from him from, like, his abusive father. It's like, it's, and that's why, like, these things mean so much.
The junkyard guy is just a jerk telling him, I know who you are.
Yeah.
When he rubs it in his face, too, like.
One of the meanest scenes, like first off, the great part, like, Chopper.
But it's just a golden retriever.
I was about to say Chopper lick balls.
Sick balls.
But it's definitely not.
That's the porn parody.
Porn parody. Chopper lick balls, and it's a lady dressed like a dog.
Sure, why not? You know what? Sure.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their kinks. We don't shame.
So it's. You got that because it is kind of Sandlot-ish where they have this image of this dog that fucking
except it
off.
Doesn't have the happy ending that Sandlot has because this guy is just a jerk and doesn't invite them
where,
in.
Where it's like the dog chews off balls basically,
but he really doesn't. He might bite and it would probably hurt because he's still a freaking dog. But it's this nice little golden retriever,
and it just it's. It's
you guys quit teasing my dog. I mean, I get why he's upset. They're teasing his dog.
It's how kids blow up things apart. I mean, the whole premise of them going to go find that body and they're like, oh, we're going to get money. We're going to get rich.
They think they're going to be famous because they're going to find them. Because it's also the boy's been missing since like the beginning of summer, they said.
Yeah.
And so they think, oh, they're going to get in the paper.
And it just the touches in the story of just like Vern was looking for his pennies and like what, like. How did he overhear them? Oh, well, he was digging under the porch looking for his lost treasures. And I just love that those little touches throughout the movie that just tie together like so well. Like the movie, I feel like every beat just it flows into the next one like really well.
Well, and like I mean, I don't know if he still thinks it, but for the longest time, Rob Reiner considered this his best movie like that he's ever made. And like he said, they even said like when they filmed it for Stephen, when they screened it for Stephen King, like at the end of the screening, he had looked over and he saw Stephen King and he was just shaking and he was just like, oh, man, he doesn't like it. And he walked out of the room. And then when he came back and talked to him, he's like, that is the best adaptation of any of my stories I've ever seen.
It's because he had moss growing on him.
He did.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. And it's
I love also, though. That like speaking of Stephen King, because kind of Gordy is supposed to be like a stand-in in a way for Stephen King, and that's even like that was like Rob Reiner's whole thing with the story about Lardass.
Yeah,
but I love that, and I don't know if it was even a thing at the time yet, but like there's the whole thing where is it Vern or is it what's his name that says I don't like that ending.
It was Vern, yeah.
Is it Vern or is it Corey Feldman?
It was Vern.
Because, and like, they're like saying, but that's just it. That's because, how it ends.
Because
but that's
like, because he's like, making a face like.
Because that's like also a standard, like a complaint that people always have about Stephen King. His stories are great, but he always has trouble with endings.
I have the same issue for the most part. It's not really like the end ending. It's almost like the penultimate chapters. Leading to it. It's like he has such a strong opener.
The sand's so good, and then all of a sudden, just a giant hand.
Yeah, just a giant hand. Exactly.
So weird.
So it that is true, and like just him trying to tell the stories where it's like throughout, like that is such just a great story of vengeance, but like on an actual like real level where it's just and because I remember as a kid, obviously, like that's one of the scenes that stood out for me because. Well,
boom, Bob.
You have that. You have the train, but like that one of everyone throwing up was just like amazing to me, and seeing it happen because it's done so comically, you don't get nauseous from it.
He intentionally cartooned it up, but then my wife turned to me and was like, "These people weren't eating the pies. Why are they vomiting blueberry?" I'm like, you know what? I never considered that.
I never thought about that till now. Wow.
But it's like, yeah, good that job. Doesn't make sense. But it's also it's part of the story, so it's fine. It, wow, it's also the story within the story. But it's like,
I can't believe out of the million times I've seen this movie, I never actually thought about that. That
because it makes sense that all the people in the contest did, but everyone else, it's like
it was a blueberry festival.
Huh. That's weird. But once again, it's also he's just telling a story. so it's fine and it works. And it also helps illustrate that, like, this guy loves telling stories and that, like, his friends generally enjoy them and want to hear more about them. And, like, so that, which is why he grows up to become a writer.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there's, I mean, even all this, like, the whole story about Chris with the milk money, like, how it's like, yeah, because, like, he's like, everyone just thinks I stole the milk money. And he's like, well, did you? He's like, yeah, you guys all know I stole the milk money. But he's like, but then he goes on and tells more of the story. He's like, but say, you know, I actually felt bad about it, and say I returned it and gave it to Miss Whatever. But then say the next day she was wearing, like, this brand new outfit because she knew no one would blink and think that I ever returned the money. So she just used the money. She stole the money from me.
Yeah.
And it's like this. It's just like, it's so, it's such a fucked up story. Like, and that he, like, just kind of gets very hurt by it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they, like, all these kids have this pain that they're, except for Vern, all these kids have, like, this pain that they're just carrying with them.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're that, and that's why Gordy's friends with all these guys, because they all have, like, trauma. Like, they're connected by different traumas. And it just, it works really well.
It really does. And even, like, on the train situation, how they all handle things differently. It's like, you show Vern where it's like he's kind of the cowardly type who's like scared, the others just walking on that track.
He lost the comb.
Yeah, and he lost the comb and was like, oh, are they going to comb their hair
when the pictures, yeah.
Well, and that's, like, it's funny because when I watched it when I was younger, I was just like, how are they going to get the news people to come over here and see it? It's like, it's a race between them and these guys in a car trying to find this dead body.
Well, that, and then you find out, well, they were actually going to bring the body back to town. Like, they were going to create a stretcher and carry it, which, by the way, that hike took them a day and a half to do, or almost two full days. And now they're going to do it carrying a dead body.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I can't not talk about, like, the leech scene. It's like, that's one of those scenes of, like, of having such horror in a,
when he, like, looks down and sees it, and that's the only one where there's, like, noticeable blood too.
Yeah, because it, for the most part, it's just like, it's just a funny thing, like, oh shit, leeches, it's crazy. And then all of a sudden with that, because of the way that Will Wheaton acts, that's why he got Star Trek, where you see, like, him, like, visibly shook, that's like, oh my god, it's done so well. Yeah, it's done so well because at first you're like, oh man, they got leeches all over him. And then that part, you feel so bad for the character. I don't know. This Rob Reiner's guy's pretty good.
Yeah, the guy. You mean the guy who made Spinal Tap? I almost forgot the name.
Yeah, and Princess Bride, and Harry Mansali.
So far, every movie. I mean, spoiler alert: every movie of his we've done for the show has held up. I don't know if this one will.
Yeah,
but
I've never.
We've only done two.
I've also never seen Harry Met Sally.
I've seen it. I could probably pick it at some point. Maybe next Valentine's Day.
Me too. There are a lot of Tom Hanks rom coms that we have not done.
Yeah, and this.
Well, just then, and I guess You Got Mail, but
that falls under Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
rom com as well as Sleepless in Seattle. Those are, like, the two.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but when Harry Met Sally is, what I remember of it, it's actually good.
Wait, when Harry Met Sally? That's not Tom Hanks.
That's Billy Crystal.
Jesus Christ. Never mind.
It's Meg Ryan, who's really more known for the rom-coms because she was America's Sweetheart. Her and Julia Roberts.
I liked When Harry Met Sally, though.
Yes.
I did see that.
You just said, right? You've never seen it. Yeah, but you have.
I'm thinking about Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, I've never seen that. I don't care about it. I've seen
Rob Reiner has nothing to do with those two, though.
No.
All right. Never mind. I take it back.
Yeah, I don't think he did Sleepless.
So then, no. So that does hold up. All right. Well, we don't know.
Or does it?
We don't know if this one does yet, though.
Or does it? We haven't done When Harry Met Sally.
That's true.
We don't know. Time is but a window. Wait, death is but a door. Time is but a window. I'll be back.
He never came back.
Tom waits for no one.
Mm-hmm. Tom waits for no one.
But yeah, I mean, and all like, I mean, it's obviously everyone knows kid actors generally aren't really good actors, but these four kids, like, do it. And, like, Sean Astin even said, he had auditioned for the role of Chris Chambers, but he basically he went in the room right after River Phoenix did, and when he went in the room, he could just tell based on what he saw in there, he's like, oh, I'm not getting this. Like, he saw the reaction of everyone. Then when he said he finally saw the movie, he's like, oh, he was the better choice. Like, yeah,
man, that's well, not good, because we needed Samwise Gamgee eventually.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we needed someone to be
And he'd already been in Goonies.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need him to go see. And I saw him at the Dodger game right afterwards. So
he was Rudy.
The Goonies. But I ignored him to talk to his brother and thank him for being in Facts of Life. And then I looked at him and I was like, eh. And I walked away. It was sad. It was sad. You know what? Biggest mistake of my life. People don't have regrets. I do. It's that.
Regrets? You've got a few?
I just looked at him and was like, fuck you, Samwise.
But you didn't know he was Samwise. You just said, fuck you, guy who wants rich stuff.
Yeah, but that's what doesn't make sense.
He was already in the Goonies, man.
I loved him in Goonies, but yet I just looked at the guy from Facts of Life and was like, this is the guy. He's going to be in Garbage Pail Kids, the movie. And nothing else. Yeah. Yeah, very sad. Very sad. Man, you got some intestinal problems?
You almost said testicular problems, I feel like. I'm like, no, I'm...
The farts are in the balls.
Yeah, the balls hold the farts. This is true. That's why they get bigger and smaller.
See?
Because the gas, it inflates.
Yeah.
Weird.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, like the whole scene where like Gordy pulls the gun... it's just amazing, like how he doesn't back down and chicken out.
I guess the most terrifying thing to Kiefer Sutherland is because he is the most straight laced guy. Like to him, like all the people that are more like them, he knows they're going to be pussies to him. But this guy, it's the unknown. I mean, he took his brother's hat.
Wild card.
Yeah, he's the wild card. He's the unknown factor to him, where it's like. Fuck.
And he's being serious too, and he's just looking him in the eyes. He's like, no.
Yeah. And it's just like you could still hear the cocking of that gun. It's
when
like,
when he cocks it, and like that's when he's like, all right, but this ain't over. And we never find out if he does that because it's not like the in the narration he says, and one day he did get us. Yeah, it's like,
and I'm dead. No, and the ending where they
and
go,
I love the fact that Chris made it out of town. Like, yeah. Chris became a lawyer, and, like, the way he died even was he was trying to de-escalate, like, a violent situation.
And it's weird because I always think of him doing that in a Denny's.
That's what it seems like to me, too. It's a Denny's.
It's very weird.
Because he says a diner, which Denny's is a diner.
Yeah, but it's also just Denny's, and you think that thing would happen. But more so probably Waffle House at this point.
So yeah.
Shit happens at a Waffle House.
Fucking the Waffle House is a crazy place.
In a Waffle House.
That's where you go. Like, how's that not like a background? Like, how's that not a stage in a Street Fighter?
But there should be. There's a meme now where, because in Dragon Ball, like, the Saiyans always look for the best fighter. And that, so it's like, there's memes of like Vegeta or Goku standing in front of a Waffle House saying, I understand the best fighters are here. Because it's a Waffle
House. The Saiyan is Saiyan?
Saiyan is Saiyan, yes. Yes. I'll entertain that. Sure. Why not?
You love it. You fucking love it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, Stand By Me is I've really been wanting to rewatch it for a while, but I was just like, you know what, it should be for like it was one of those where it'd been so long and it was a movie that I watched a lot as a kid where I was just like, well, if I'm gonna watch it, I'll make sure it's for the show.
And a lot of those movies back then, there are a lot of parts that dragged along, but I didn't feel that this actually had those.
It's not
parts.
A long movie either. It's under 2 hours.
It's very quick.
In my head, I was like, I feel like it's like at least a 2 hour movie because it seems like I also kept thinking, well, in between all those things that you know, there's probably a lot of nothing that happens. Like, but it's like, no, it goes like literally everything that you remember happens. The only thing that goes in between them is more of establishing the situation of A, establishing how mean Kiefer Sutherland is, and B, like every scene is like, oh, are they going to tell him about the body now? Nope, they didn't yet. And then like when they actually do it, it's great because they're both having separate conversations with two different guys who then tell each other, even though they swore on their moms. And I love that, like, the narrator's like, it took them all of 38 hours till they actually told someone. I was like, that's beautiful.
It is. And, like, it is a great story. Like, it's
a train dodge.
Yeah. And it fantasizes the whole, like, kids going on an adventure, doing something, and then, like, eventually, like, parting ways throughout life. It's like one becomes a construction worker and how they.
Yeah. He really doesn't learn. I mean, because he lost track of Vern and Eddie. in school still. Like, they were in high school probably, or even middle school when they, because he just says, you know, we saw less and less of each other, and then, you know, it just, but like, Chris was the last one that he had parted with, and even though he hadn't talked, like, he even says at the end, it's like, even though I hadn't talked to him in years, yeah, I'm gonna miss him forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole line about it, you know, we never have friends the way we do. Like, I will never have friends the way I did when I was 12. And, you know, the last line, Jesus, does anyone? And it's like, oh, that's, I mean, it's just this really, I mean, but it's true.
Jesus, does anyone?
Yeah, he was asking Jesus.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Nah.
Nah.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
But it is jarring to see Richard Dreyfuss without facial hair.
Yeah. It is. It is weird. And watching this, like, eventually when Wonder Years came on, I was just like, "Is this like kind of like that? Like, is it? We're just gonna find out he's a writer or something Is this like?"
No, because it's just that he's telling his son.
Yeah, he's just telling him. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know, man. Weird. I just, I love that. Just Richard Dreyfuss looks nothing like, what's his name, Will Wheaton. I love it. Love it.
I mean, time happens.
Same with Daniel Stern and Fred Savage.
Well, but we never see him.
Yeah, but
so it's fine.
Fred Savage gets old enough to where it's like, I know his voice.
I'm aware, but it's not as bad because you never see him.
I don't like it. I don't like one bit. And then he becomes a wet bandit. I doubt it.
I mean, at least in How I Met Your Mother, for the last episode, the narration is actually done by the same actor who played Ted.
It is. I don't know about that. Who did the actual narration?
Bob Saget.
Oh yeah, that's weird. Well, he was dead. What are you gonna do?
No, he wasn't dead yet.
Oh, no, but he died. But he died later. It's fine.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Stand By Me. Does it hold up, Jim?
Yeah, I love this movie. I think it is. It's a timeless movie because it's about friends. Like, it's about friendship. It's really about friendship. It's about how, like, your friends are kind of a group of misfits. Like, everyone's different and whatnot, and it shows why there's always like one common thread or something. Like, not everyone has to like the same things or whatever, or eventually become the same thing. But like, it's
Danzig's great. Friends were the actual misfits.
Yes, Danzig's friends were the actual misfits. But it's just such a great story. Like, the storytelling, it's quick. It's not like. The pacing is just, it's done very well. And the character development, you love it because you give a shit about these characters. And at the end, when you find out, like, because Vern, they don't pay a lot of attention to Vern. Vern plays an important role because they're on this journey because of him, but he's not a main character. And then when it's like, oh, and then he just, know it, he gets a job in construction. He's got wife and kids, whatever. It's like, yeah.
And then Eddie,
that seems right.
Last he heard, Eddie was in jail. Or did some time in prison or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, which is like the dudes from Broken Home, whatever. But it's like, it just kind of shows like these people that led these lives, this was their childhood. Like, everyone has a childhood no matter what. And it's just a really good movie that's just well written, and I love it. And I do probably think that, I mean, Rob Reiner's fucking great. I mean, regardless. So if you put this against Princess Bride and Spinal Tap, it's like they're all such different movies that it's hard to be like, oh, well, this one's better than the other ones, because they're, I mean, just showing that he can make those three movies alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's done other movies, but just these three movies alone, it's like, this kudos to you, sir. I know he's a listener, so you know what? Good job.
Him and Tom Waits.
Good job, Rob and
Tom
Waits.
Billy, I wish we never boosted that car. I love it when Corey Feldman is making fun of them. It's like, geez. But yeah, this movie holds up. I also forgot that it was R-rated. Like, when I saw the rating at the beginning, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But in my head, it's like, I'd completely just never even considered that. I was like, it had to have been like PG-13 or something.
It did freak me out. Like, Kiefer Sutherland taking out a knife like on a kid was like, whoa, you can't do that. That's crazy. He's a kid.
But it's also a Stephen King bully. Like, yeah, exactly. Bullies in Stephen King stories are mean.
And always taking out
knives.
They're
brutal. Well, yeah, like the kid in It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And his character gets referenced again in one of the other books. I forget which one, but
it was a mist when he's going, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Oh man. But yeah, no, the movie holds up. The performances from the kids are great. Like, it's a great coming of age story. and it's just, it's really, really, really well done. It's just, it's a solid, it's a tour de force, as the kids would say. The kids don't say that, but adults do. Your kids are going to love it. Yeah. Jim, where can people find you? Anything to recommend? So it's a solid holds up from both of us.
Yes.
Like Siskel and Ebert giving two thumbs up.
Obscure Gent. You can find me everywhere with that name. I can't really recommend Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I don't think it was bad by any means, but it just, it was like, yeah, it's good. I mean, that's
why I didn't list it with the other movies that I saw last week, because I saw that too.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think it was horrible by any means, but I feel like
it lacked anything. It is the lesser Ghostbuster movie.
Yeah, it's
got pacing issues and too many characters.
Yeah, way too many characters.
Also, I'm just going to say, I like that they brought in a lot of the Afterlife characters, except for one. Podcast had no reason to be there.
Oh, Podcast, yeah.
Like, it's too convenient that now he's, like, interning with Ray so that they could still have him be in, like, New York when the kid lives in, where, I forget where they were in the first, in Afterlife, but.
Were they in Nashville? No, they were somewhere, yeah.
In Indiana or something.
Yeah, something like that. And so, it is weird that he was there, but also the girl, too, where it's like they all just, like, left. I mean.
Well, the girl makes sense because they went.
And she wanted to leave. I get that, but I don't know. Something about.
Oh, you mean that girl? Yeah, no, yeah. The same thing. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. Oh, wow. So looking at the other movies to go off a tangent, like I forget he did Albert Brooks Defending My Life. Oh, no,
that's the documentary that just came out. It's supposed to be really good.
So Stand By Me, Shock and Awe, LBJ, Being Charlie, The Magic of Belle Isle, Ain't No Idea. The Bucket List. He did The Bucket List. That was fine. Rumor has it, that wasn't very good. All right, look, you got some good stuff, but then you also have some of these. Ghost of Mississippi, The American President. I saw that too. North, A Few Good Men. Misery. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, he did Misery.
Hey, this guy's bringing it. Stand By Me, The Sure Thing. Oh, he did The Sure Thing?
Correct.
Oh, well, look at this guy. This guy's got a future. Good job. What do I recommend? Top Chef. I'm watching Top Chef with my daughter right now. It's a pretty great cooking show. Probably the best cooking show there is.
It's great.
It's so great. Also, I recommend Fortnite. Crank 90s. I don't care if this people want to say it's a kid's game. It's good. Also, WrestleMania. I only watched the highfalutin pay-per-views. So, yeah. Come watch them with me. You're invited. I mean, unless you're a hussy that my brother has dated, then no. Or is currently dating, then you are not invited.
I mean, currently.
Maybe.
Because you're going to be the auntie.
Yes. Yes, you will have to meet my family.
Indeed. You can find me playing Travis everywhere.
Eating raw Pop-Tarts.
Red says it's fine.
Goddamn.
Can't argue with Rhett. Sorry. I recommend the Nashville hot flavored pretzel nuggets from Schneider's. Not the one day at a time guy, but like just the Schneider's of Hanover. Those are very good. As far as actual recommendations, last week I did like movies and shows. So this week I'll do some albums that recently came out since last week we all talked. And I'm talking about you, the dear listener.
Dear listeners,
Sum 41 released their final album.
Jesus Christ.
It's a good album.
Final album?
Yeah, they're done. They're on their final tour. It's over.
Oh.
No. Like, literally, he's... Finally. He's saying they're done.
I thought they were done a long time ago.
No. Their best albums have been, like, their last two.
Hey. Sure.
No. You don't know.
I don't know.
They walked away. They got more of like the metal sounding stuff in their more recent stuff.
They went
stuff,
out on
more
top.
Metal infused. Yeah, they did.
The only thing we can say is
yes.
They went out on top.
Also, Strung Out just released.
I saw it. An album. Is that your tattoo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what this
so
one.
So do you like them?
I no.
All right.
No, I love Strung Out. They're one of my top five bands.
Oh, easy.
Easy. Take it easy, man. Yeah, they just released their most recent
my
newest
top
album.
Three bands are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of something else to say to go along with that. I'm sorry. I failed you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely recommend Dead Rebellion, the new album from Strung Out. It was a good album.
You bought it on record and also cassette tape?
No cassette.
Mm-hmm. How do you listen to it on record? Phonograph?
With a record player.
Interesting.
With a record player that connects to my soundbar via Bluetooth.
Not a Vitrola?
Not that brand, no.
Is that what you crank that?
No, Vitrola is the current brand that really? People have, yeah.
Holy shit, I was just joking.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were being serious when you said not a Vitrola.
No idea.
Although I do want to get actual speakers just to hook up to the record player so it, kind of get that a little bit more of that warmth that everyone talks about.
No,
but
no idea.
But even on the Bluetooth, it sounds nice. Mm. But
on the Bluetooth, I don't know what.
Yeah. So my record player, mm-hmm. right? It has Bluetooth where it can actually do sound out via Bluetooth. So it connects. So that's how I listen to it. It's Bluetooth to my soundbar.
That's crazy.
And so, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I have that.
There you go.
I have that. And then, as far as shows go, is there anything right now? I mean, I feel like I said everything last week, but comics, the ultimate Marvel stuff is just doing great work. It's so good. And then also, there's a few other books like this book called The Deviant, which is really good. I talked about it a few weeks ago. It's, about a serial killer who is obsessed with Christmas, but it's written by the same guy who wrote, The Nice House on the Lake.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's very good quality. James Tynion IV.
I need to finish that.
You should. It's really good. It's very good. And then the second part of Once in Future is coming out soon.
Oh, shit. I need to finish that, too.
Yeah, those are both solid. You got a lot on your plate.
A lot on my plate.
Maybe less Fortnite, a little more read and watch.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not. But, yeah. So, that is this week's episode.
It's a wrap.
Speak now or forever hold your pieces. I'm going to actually start playing the song while we still ramp out because it's got a long intro. It's very loud, though. All right, AAA, gone, not forgotten.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look